Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fired up on a Wednesday, hour two. Come on in and stay a while. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thanks for allowing us into your life. Or radio affiliates around the country as well. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Phone number 877-3DP-SHOW. Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Poll question from hour one was kind of saucy, based off of something Mike Greenberg said yesterday on Get Up. Seton, the results after round one.
Let's see. The idea to rest the Lakers starters in game five is completely insane or unappreciated genius. 88% right now going with completely insane. Shout out to that 12%, though, that recognize genius when they see it.
The 12%ers.
The 12%ers.
Yes, yes. Mrs. Davis is the world's most powerful artificial intelligence. Simone is the nun devoted to destroying her. From a co-executive producer of The Big Bang Theory, co-creator of Watchmen and Lost, comes Mrs. Davis, original series streaming now only on Peacock. What are we going to go with the poll question for hour two, Seton O'Connor?
Well, we could switch things up a little bit and head over to the NFL.
The NFL
is releasing their schedule of the European games tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes, they are. European games came out. The rest of the schedule tomorrow night.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so we have five games in Europe.
Which would you be cool with? Mm-hmm. Moving an NFL team to Europe, having a Super Bowl in Europe, both neither.
I don't want to export our Super Bowl. It's our Super Bowl. It feels like we're going to get a team at some point. I know we've been talking about this for over 10 years. Just, it feels like if that team, it's going to be Jacksonville. And I've said that before. People in Jacksonville get upset. I'm only telling you what I've been told down through the years. But, you know, there's so much more involved in this. You know, living there, paying taxes there, you know, flying back and forth. What if you have a game, you know, how do you schedule it where you're going to be on the West Coast, you then stay on the West Coast, you have two games. I think Jacksonville, does Jacksonville have back-to-back games in London with this European schedule?
They play at Wembley, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans, they're having games in London at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which was when they built that stadium, they built it specifically to host to also accommodate NFL games.
Yeah. Is Jacksonville playing back-to-back games, Marvin?
Yes, week four and five.
Okay, that's what I thought. And maybe that's what you do, but is London, is that the place? Is that the destination? Is Mexico City? Is Germany? You know, it feels like they're trying to figure that out. And I think they were, and I don't want to put words in anybody in the NFL office's mouth, but surprised at just how enthusiastic the crowds were in Germany. And now you're sending Patrick Mahomes there against the Dolphins, which I don't agree with at all. Because that That's Tyreek Hill coming back to Kansas City. You know, you can export whatever game over there. It's not like they're going to go, I'm not going to go see that. It feels like whatever game they're getting, they're going to go see that game. Now you're taking a big game, important game, a rivalry game, Tyreek Hill coming back to Kansas City. You know, we'll still watch it. I feel bad for the fans in Kansas City. Yeah, Paulie.
I'm reading a bunch of stories. When Shad Khan first bought the Jacksonville Jaguars, that was fall of 2011, there was a lot of speculation that the Jaguars, which had a nice fan base but was not bringing them in too well, would eventually move to London.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be any traction towards that or any reporting that that is in the works. You would think we're now 11 or 12 years into this and you haven't heard anything. Do you think the NFL floated it and got too much backlash?
Probably so. And this is what the NFL does. This is what a lot of these leagues do. They'll send out something, or they'll release it, or give something to a columnist, and then somebody writes something, and then they wait to see what the reaction is. Or, hey, this guy's going to get disciplined, or I'm hearing that this is going to happen. What's the reaction to that? And that, I thought, was the case with Jacksonville. It's like, let's see. How would Americans feel about this? And I think because nobody was thinking about Jacksonville, even though they've had some success, I don't know if it was, oh, okay, if they go to London, no big deal. But if it was, any other team, that would never happen. But you have an owner who has ties to London in Shad Khan, and I think we thought maybe it's inevitable that he would be the first owner to have an NFL team there in London. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. The Pro Football Focus power rankings out following the draft, and we'll run down that list coming up a little bit. Also, Kenny Smith from TNT, he's got a book out. Kenny will join us coming up in the final hour of the program. Remember back in 2020, the NBA was forced to create a bubble scenario in Orlando. They were trying to get these games in during COVID and trying to let these teams compete safely for a title. And the so-called neutral site, it was the Lakers and the Miami Heat. And it feels like because LeBron won in the bubble, therefore, it's not a full title. And I'm thinking, he didn't have a home court advantage. It was neutral. Every single game was on a neutral site. And why wouldn't that count as a championship? But it does feel like, oh, yeah, that's not a real championship. And I go, it is. It's a real championship. If you can make a case why it's not, I'd be interested in that. But they would have had home court advantage. They didn't have that. And now look at what we got the Lakers, maybe going back to the Western Conference Finals. You got the Miami Heat. They're going to be going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's not like these two franchises were like if you said Detroit was playing Charlotte, and you go, well, they couldn't play. But let's say you took two bad teams, and they were playing in the NBA Finals.
Detroit and the Rockets.
Okay.
Playing,
yeah.
And
then you might go, well, that's because of the bubble. That neutralized everything, and, the best teams aren't going to win here.
Two teams, clearly an anomaly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But Miami and L.A., they're two of the best teams in the NBA. And because they played in the bubble, there's validity to that. And there should be. It's because it's LeBron James. Any other team wins in the bubble, it doesn't feel like you're going to go, yeah, but. You're going to be like, if Jimmy Butler had won, we'd be like, hey, you got to count it. It's in the bubble, but he beat LeBron. We go out of our way, it feels like, or the media does. How do we use this, get LeBron in a conversation here? That's not really a title. You want it in a... Michael Jordan never won one in a bubble. Like, okay. Yes, Todd.
But all the teams were under the same situation. They all had to deal with the same circumstances. It's not like there was different COVID protocol and the Lakers and Heat had a chance to play home games in their cities and then go to the bubble for the other games.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right. We've got some phone calls coming up here. Graham in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Graham, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 6'4", 210, first time, long time. So I had an opportunity present itself yesterday. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It was my anniversary, and I remembered, but the missus forgot. So my question is, do I kind of bank this, get out of jail free card and save it for a rainy day? Or should I maybe double down and try and persuade the missus, you know, hey, you know, we don't have to get each other anything for our anniversaries moving forward.
How many anniversaries?
Number two.
Oh, my God. She forgot the second one?
Red flag.
Graham.
Red flag.
Graham, run.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay. I mean, no. Of course. No. Don't run. I mean, run to embrace her. Yes.
Don't
run.
Bank this one too long, buddy. I don't think you're going to get too many chances to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, Graham, I'm going to warn you. You can't bank this. You know, if you a year from now decide to forget your anniversary on purpose
and
think you have a hall pass, you do not.
And get her a gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I got her flowers. So I was like, you know, I got her flowers and a card and chocolate. You know, I remembered, and I honestly was on my way to forgetting, and then I got the calendar reminder. So,
how about that? You know what? Hey, try that. Why don't you say, you know, hun, how about a hall pass for me? Now you have to define hall pass because there's a movie that was out, hall pass. Then this could be just I get a get out of jail card. I get to play golf or something, or maybe do something with the guys.
Yeah, get drunk at a wedding and
well,
make a fool of myself.
I don't. No. We don't need that. Yes, Seton.
It is an opportunity, though. The door has been opened to say we don't need to do this moving forward. It's okay. We know that we love each other. We don't have to. And then when you do, now the expectation is like you just get something little and nice, and it's not a big deal. It's just like, yeah, no, that's cool. We just celebrate it the way we do.
You know what?
That door is open.
Graham, call me back in a year, okay?
Can you remember?
Let's know how single life is.
Yeah. I mean, your wife might not remember, but I want you to remember to call me back in a year.
Hopefully you don't get cleaned out.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Yeah. Prenup, Graham. Prenup. All right. Thank you, Graham.
Second anniversary.
I know. I mean, I'm coming up on 37.
If it was like 7, maybe, somewhere in that, you know, 13 or something, you're like, yeah, I don't know.
7-year itch.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Okay. Red flag.
I don't think there's a 2-year itch there for Graham's wife.
The 2-year, oops, I forgot, is rarely cited.
Guys always forget. Women don't forget. Because then, you know, you want her to say, you know, every day is our anniversary. That would be how I'd spin it. Every day is our anniversary.
Two?
Huh?
Yeah. Like you got to the first one, and then after that, it's just skipped my mind.
Well, I did buy my wife our first Christmas a blender. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I learned. Like, I'm really good at giving gifts now. But I was not good before. Yes, Paul.
Did you try to talk away out of it? Like it's symbolic. It's about us being together. And
we're blending. We're blending.
Family.
Blending.
We're one.
Yeah,
we press
the
button and we go.
Yes, we're blending.
My mother would say, because you two are a good mix.
Oh, that okay. A little dad humor by your mom.
Yeah, Jude, that would be a big one.
All right, I like that. You know, the number one, I don't know if this is the number one trending story yesterday, but it was one of the more popular trending stories. And it had to do with Robert De Niro is going to have or had another baby. He's 79, and I think his girlfriend might be in her 40s. And this was trending yesterday. Yes, Paulie?
Here's a hypothetical for you guys.
Okay.
Again, hypothetical. Let's say for some reason you found yourself at 70 years old and not married.
Mm.
You are a single man again for whatever reason. You get a girlfriend or wife who's 30 years younger than you. And she says, I've never had children. I would love to have a baby. You're 70. You're well off. You're successful.
Mm-hmm.
You're retired.
Mm-hmm.
All is going well financially.
Mm.
And your 40-year-old wife says, I want to have a baby. Your answer would be?
Sure.
Easy. A quick sure?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if I love her. Yeah.
Marvin, what was that answer again?
I wouldn't do that at 40. I don't want any more kids now.
Okay, but 70? You don't love like it, I do.
I love like.
I love kids, too.
Oh, I love kids?
I love like.
No, you don't. You got one kid, and I said, how about another one? Nope. Nope.
It was a little bit more than that.
Yes,
but
it was. Yeah, I can't say exactly what you said when he was like, hey, you going to have another kid? Bleep. Nope. Yes, yes, Eaton.
Well, people think that just because you have a kid, that means you like kids. You might like yours, but the rest of them are kind of useless.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
And I know you want to make the wife happy there, but there is something to be said for how fair is that for the child. You can't exactly run around your grandpa age. You can't do a lot of things that dads would normally do if you had that kid 30, 40 years before.
Yeah, well.
At least they'd be born, though.
To each his own, you know. It depends on the situation. In my 70s, if I'm still killing it, yeah. You know, doing damage, yeah, sure.
What?
if I fell in love with, you know, someone like Jessica Alba. That's a callback. That's all that is. It's a callback. Or Sheryl Crow. That's a callback. Yes, Paulie.
I think I'd do it. You know, you got more time. You don't have to go to work every day. 70 years old, having a little kid around the house. It would probably be a pleasure, I think.
What?
No, I'm wrong, am I?
What?
Well, you can get a puppy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get a puppy. I mean, that's probably what I would say first. I'd like to have a baby. How about a puppy?
Neither one of those sound appealing. Gotta admit.
The kid gets to like three or four. They can get your beer, your slippers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you don't want your wife taking care of like two babies, like you and the baby.
Double diaper runs?
Yeah.
Because that's what's on the horizon.
Yeah,
right
it
there.
Is.
It's quicker than you think.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, 79?
I'm going to put my vote in the no column
okay,
on
but,
that one.
Okay, but De Niro's 79. Like, at some point, you have to go, like, how old is too old to do this?
79?
Yeah, yeah. 79 feels
Isn't
old.
Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Well, no, we just said in your 70s. If you said, hey, am I 71? Once you get to, like, 75, I don't know. I would make him get like a physical just to see what's going on. Yes, Paul.
He's got movies coming out. He's working on like six different productions. This guy is not retired in any way.
Well, he's got to pay for a divorce, and he's got seven kids.
Yeah, he's got six movies in production or pre-production.
I remember seeing the quote when he was going through his divorce where he blamed his wife because she spends his money, and that's why he has to do all these crappy movies. Right? Did you see that quote, Marvin?
Dang, that's harsh.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why he did Bad Grandpa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Bad Grandpa wasn't bad.
Dirty Grandpa. Put some respect.
Oh, Dirty Grandpa. Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
It sounded like I messed up Goodfellas.
What? The Intern with Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
No. You know, for a guy who did Raging Bull, he did so many Taxi Driver, and then when you see him do these other roles, he had these iconic roles, and it always feels like, man, he's doing that?
I saw him at some type of roast on Comedy Central, and they're calling him Aging Bull. He took it well, though.
Oh, as only De Niro can, I'm sure. Seton does a great De Niro impersonation, just the look, which doesn't help on radio right now. There it is. Let me hear the...
You do have to kind of bend your face if you're going to start doing okay. You squint a little bit. Yeah.
And then, you know, how do you sound?
Around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right there. Because he just repeats everything.
Yeah. Twice.
Yeah.
You're talking to me?
Yeah. You're talking to me.
We'll come back. More phone calls. The Pro Football Focus Power Rankings. That'll be coming up. And an hour from now, Kenny Smith from TNT will join us. Take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. Simply Safe Home Security. Spring is in bloom. You start to clean. Make sure, once you've done that, spring cleaning, Simply Safe Home Security. Enjoy greater peace of mind knowing that your home is monitored around the clock. Trained agents ready to act, ready to defend against break-ins, fires, and other threats. They have fast protect technology, fast response. Only Simply Safe has this. What it does. It enables the monitoring agents to visually verify a threat is real, and then they will send the eyewitness evidence to 911, fast police or fire response. You can control your Simply Safe home security anywhere, anytime. They have the Simply Safe app. No contracts to sign, no hidden fees, no pushy salespeople, and they have financing through Affirm. Secure your home today, pay over time in installments that fit your budget. SimplySafeDan.com. Go today. Claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. There is no safe like SimpliSafe. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Recapping last night, Sixers beat the Celtics in Boston. They're up 3-2 now. And once again, they're spreading the wealth here with guys who are having big nights. James Harden's had a couple of great games. Embiid has. Tyrese Maxey has. And now they go home with a chance to end the Celtics season. The Joker, 29-13-12. He has 10 career playoff triple-doubles, the most by any center in the history of the game. Also, Devin Booker is having a historical playoff. He has 359 points so far in the playoffs. That's most by any player through the first 10 games of a postseason since 1990 when Michael Jordan did that. Also, 71 assists. Jordan and Booker, the only players in NBA history with those numbers through the first 10 games of a postseason. Jordan did it a couple of times. But Devin Booker had another wonderful night. Now, he didn't have one of those 45-point explosions, but I expected Denver to win, and Joker played methodically great. You just watch, and you know what's happening. You can almost bank on what's going to happen. And DeAndre Ayton has no chance, zero. And you're watching this. The Phoenix Suns know this, and I think if I'm the Suns, I think it's time to go to Plan B. And maybe that's not DeAndre Ayton for this next game. All right, we'll get some more phone calls coming up. Steve Palazzolo, our good buddy, Pro Football Focus senior analyst and host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. And we've got our power rankings coming up for this upcoming season. After the draft, PFF has their power rankings. Okay, where do we get a surprise here with the best teams in football, Steve?
I think it's got to be the Browns at 9. You know, so when we're running the numbers on this, there's a lot of data that says Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback, and he only played the 5 games last year. He wasn't great, but I think the Browns have a pretty strong all-around roster. They've done a good job just building depth over the last couple of years, and then it's going to come down to Deshaun Watson. So our numbers still say, hey, there's far more good than bad on his tape, even though the good was way back in 2020. So the Browns being at 9 in our power rankings, probably the biggest surprise, I think.
Give me the team or teams that improved the most and affected their rankings in the offseason.
It might be obvious, but the Jets, they're up at 6 for us. And again, it's so quarterback driven. You know, we have a spot on our site that says, it puts our power rankings together, and then it shows, okay, the quarterback is worth X number of points, basically. So a Patrick Mahomes might be 7 or 8 points on, say, the spread, which of course is going to affect your ranking by about, you know, 15 spots basically for the season. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, going from a Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White team to Aaron Rodgers, who again may have regressed a little bit last year, but again, you know, there's far more good data for Aaron Rodgers. He's the biggest impact player to move this offseason, so it moves the Jets way up, and they already had a pretty solid roster around him anyway.
What was the grade on Rodgers by Pro Football Focus last year?
I believe he finished in the high 70s, so which was, you know, good, not great. You know, he's a guy that coming off his 2 MVP seasons, he was in the high 80s, low 90s. So it's from that elite area to just good. Obviously, I think with Rodgers, there were other circumstances dealing with the rookie receivers, a late breakout from Christian Watson, losing Devontae Adams. So all of that stuff has to be factored in, I think, as far as context. But Rodgers was good, not great last year. But I think if he was to bounce back, it wouldn't really surprise me, given his history.
Let's take Rodgers out of the equation. Let's look at the talent with Green Bay and the Jets. Which roster is more talented?
I think the Jets have the nod right now. It's pretty close. Green Bay had an influx. They had 14 draft picks. I think a lot depends on how well those guys get integrated right away. But if you look at the Jets, their defense got a huge boost last year. Sauce Gardner, the number 4 overall pick, who was the best corner in the league by our numbers. DJ Reed at corner, who they brought in free agency last year. So that solidified a secondary that was terrible for years. They're loaded on the defensive line, the Jets. They're rolling 7 or 8 deep with guys that can rush the passer. It's going to come down to offensive line health, I think, for the Jets. They had a lot of injuries last year, and that hurt them. But they've got playmakers. They've got players on both sides. I think the Jets do have a slightly better roster than the Packers right now.
The least talented roster or rosters can be found where?
I think it's Arizona. So the Cardinals, and which is why I loved their draft, you know, giving up draft picks or giving up draft position to look at next year. Arizona is completely depleted on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe offensively. You have Kyler Murray already. He's hurt. He's going to miss time. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins isn't there any longer. So I think it's Arizona. And then fascinating, it's the Rams, really. I mean, the Rams are – they have high-end talent. They have Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Aaron Donald. But the Rams' depth is absolutely challenged. So those couple of years that they, quote-unquote, went for it, starting to see what happens there where they're depleted. They need a lot of young players to step up.
It feels like there's a groundswell, and maybe that's overstating this, that Arizona is going to be bad, and next year they'll be on the clock with the number 1 pick and maybe the 2nd overall pick. Therefore, how could you pass up Caleb Williams? Could you see Arizona moving on from Kyler Murray after this season?
I could see it. I mean, Kyler, it's a little more difficult now that they signed him. It's harder to move off that contract and everything. But Caleb Williams, I think a year from now, you're going to get Patrick Mahomes comps. You're just going to. I know it's unfair. I know we should never use, you know, Mahomes or Brady or any of the you know, immediate Hall of Famers as comparisons. But Caleb Williams has Patrick Mahomes type of plays. He's a great runner. He has unbelievable arm talent, and he's just productive, and he's really, really good. So a year from now, we're going to be talking about this great prospect at a Trevor Lawrence level. And Kyler Murray, you know, who's coming off of an injury, we might see him for only half a season. Yeah, that's going to be a debate a year from now. And I could see Arizona trying to find a way to just bring Caleb Williams in.
Do you remember what Pro Football Focus thought about Patrick Mahomes coming out of college?
Yeah, so like our overall grading wasn't great. You know, if you look at his entire career and you look at the data, nothing said this guy's, you know, future superstar. Now, his last season He did. He did play at an elite level. So I was trying to figure out, how do you weigh that with Mahomes? He had quit baseball, which I thought was a factor. And then when we, you know, those were what the hard numbers said. And then what we said from an analysis standpoint isn't different from what a lot of other people said. It was like, hey, the special is there. He needs to learn how to play within structure a little bit better. And the upside is immense. And then he goes to this incredible situation with Andy Reid, with the Chiefs. And if you read everybody's Mahomes scouting reports, weaknesses, working within the pocket, decision making, working within structure. It was like he took every weakness and turned it to a strength his first year as a starter. So I think a lot of us had the same analysis on Mahomes, and then he goes to a situation where it was just perfect for his development.
Did Pro Football Focus have Mitchell Trubisky rated higher than Mahomes?
Come on, Dan. Why do you have to go there? Why do you have to go there? Yes. Yes, we may have. We may have had Trubisky, Watson, and Mahomes. It was a mistake. It was obviously a mistake, like other people.
What did I miss, though, or maybe I didn't miss, with Mitchell Trubisky? Because I would watch him in college, but I never came away going, man, you got to go up and get that guy. Whereas Deshaun Watson did everything you want a quarterback to do. Beat Alabama, win a national title. It's almost like we saw too much of him. And we love the, man, you got to see this guy. Well, I don't know if Anthony Richardson is, you know, like Mitchell Trubisky. You got to see this guy. So what was it that Trubisky did or didn't do that everybody fell in love with?
I mean, looking back, I think there were a lot of concerns about Trubisky, but there was a lot of positives. I think one of the things that in his camp was the fact that he was a one-year starter. So it depends on how you look at that. As a one-year starter, you think there's more upside. There's more there. As a one-year starter, you could also say, why didn't he see the field earlier at UNC? People use that beforehand against him.
Well, it's the same thing with Will Levis that makes me nervous. Same thing that, we got a few. That Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I got to have more of a sample size than 1 year.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Joe Burrow had more than 1 year as a starter, but only 1 year elite. And Kyler Murray was a 1 year wonder as well, basically, as a guy that was sitting behind Baker Mayfield, sitting at Texas A&M for a little bit. So it kind of goes both ways. So I think, yeah, with Trubisky, the thing with Watson, too, if you just really dissected his game, it was a lot of like one read and then he takes off type of stuff. Like, he changed his playing style in the NFL. And then again, with Mahomes, it just felt like such backyard football in the Big 12, where you've seen a three-man rush half the time. It was like, well, this isn't translatable. This will never work. But you just don't see how special they are as far as wanting to get better and that natural playmaking. And I think that's where a lot of us missed back in that 2017 class. And
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. You guys all in on Daniel Jones?
No, I mean, I think he's in the middle tier of quarterbacks. I mean, so I think we're in a world where there's a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and Daniel Jones is one of them. You know, rewind 10 years, I think it was tough to find a Daniel Jones level starter. You know, Andy Dalton was like this cutoff where if you were below Andy Dalton, teams were trading for, you know, whoever. So I think Daniel Jones is fine. I think he's
is
okay.
He Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, are they on the same level?
No, I think Dak Prescott's a tier higher than Daniel Jones. I think the one thing that Jones has going for him, I don't think he's as good of a passer as Dak Prescott. I think it's the running ability that Jones has and the fact that the Giants tapped into that. When he rushes for 700 yards, kind of quietly, but he picks up 5, 6, 7 first downs per game, that stuff goes under the radar, and Daniel Jones does that extremely well. So it's not as flashy, but it's effective. That's the one thing I think Jones has. But I don't think I think Dak has far more of an opportunity of carrying a passing game than Daniel Jones does at this point in their careers.
You're anti-running back in the first round, but two went in the top 15 picks. Mistakes by Detroit and Atlanta?
Yeah, I think they're mistakes, but it's also tough to identify them. You know, like Bijan Robinson's going to go, and he's probably going to rush for 1,400, 1,500 yards. He's going to have 12 touchdowns, and it's going to look like a win. You know, Saquon Barkley went number two, and he won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and everybody's like, look, pick justified. But it comes down to the wins and losses, right? The Falcons already had a top three or four rushing attack last year with fifth round rookie Tyler Allgeier. Yeah, they have the best running back room in the NFL. Does that actually matter in today's NFL? I don't know. But I don't know if we're going to feel it because the Falcons got so much better across the rest of their roster. It's not like they're going to win four games and we're going to say, see, you shouldn't have taken Bijan Robinson. It's more about the opportunity cost of other positions. So, yeah, I think they're mistakes over time as far as winning games. But I get how you can fall in love with the players. Nothing against Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. The Lions won, same thing. I don't know if you're going to feel it. I think their roster's so much better. They had five picks in the top 60 or so. So, you know, they're going to be better this year. But I think over time, you'll feel it a little bit more because of the opportunity cost of other positions that they could have brought in.
I would love to see Bijan Robinson used the way Deebo Samuel is. I'd love to have him get 800 yards and 90 catches. I'd like to have that advantage there where I'm not, you know, going to give him the ball and just pound him, but I would be able to have those strategic matchups, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, that kind of situation. And I had a scout tell me, you know, he's got unbelievable hands, and I wouldn't use him as a primary back. He's just a – I would just have him as a weapon. His position is a weapon, and use him accordingly.
He is that good. I mean, you see there's plays on film where he's running the seam and adjusting to off-target passes as a receiver. The one caveat to that, though, when Deebo Samuel, who is really a wide receiver, the defense calls him a wide receiver. When he lines up into the backfield, that breaks defenses. You have to bring a corner into the box. You have to just change your run gap fit, your run fits and all that stuff. Running backs don't have that type of mismatch ability as much as, say, a Deebo, who's a receiver by name, treated as a receiver and then plays running back. So it's similar, but there are some differences where I think Deebo has the advantage.
Don't be a know-it-all, Steve, okay?
I'm sorry. It was a good idea, Dan. It's a good idea.
Once That's again, you... Mitchell Trubisky. You guys love Mitchell Trubisky, all right?
We've all grown and learned. In the last 6 or 7 years, right?
Hey, good to talk to you as always. Thank you. We always appreciate Pro Football Focus. That says Steve Palazzolo, the senior analyst there, co-host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. Yeah, when you go all in and you have, you know, those opinions, and then those opinions just stay there. And somebody goes, oh, let's look back on what your opinion was. And, you know, I've had opinions where you're going, gosh, I hope they forget about that. But then there are other ones where, God, is he going to remind us again that he thought this? Yes, Paulie.
I wonder, it's almost redundant. Like Mitch Trubisky, he basically played 1 year as the main starter. 30 touchdowns, 6 picks. He did nothing wrong in college. Like, there's almost no bad tape to show because it's such a small sample size. Remember guys like Achilles Smith way back in the day? They had that breakout year. Or Mark Sanchez at USC, one great year.
Yeah.
And you get out while you're still hot. There's nothing to nitpick.
Yeah. I don't want to take a quarterback who's played 1 year. And we see it. And then, you know, you got to factor in Will Levis couldn't start at Penn State, starts at Kentucky, was good that 1 year. You know, last year, not as good. I know he's banged up. Anthony Richardson. That's the one where you go, why aren't you dominating every game? And then, you know, Dan Orlovsky said, well, did you see his wide receivers? Okay. Did anybody bring up Will Levis's receiver? Like, how many times do we do this? Where you go, hey, have you seen his receivers? All right, you're at Florida in the SEC. I think you have decent talent there. But Anthony Richardson's fascinating. And the things that I've heard from a source is how he handles himself preparing. Like, he wants to be great. It's sometimes when you have that much athleticism, you're like, I can get by on natural ability. Like, this was my criticism of Kyler Murray. I think he's always been this elite talent. I don't know if he's ever put in the time to accompany elite talent. And when you see that happen, that's where you get guys like, you know, Jordan or Isaiah Thomas. Like, they put in the time, and then on top of that, being great players. Brady, you got to put in the time. But he didn't have the athleticism. Mahomes had the athleticism. We just didn't know if playing against Big 12 defenses and him just having fun in the backyard, if that was going to translate. But you go and Andy Reid's your head coach. You already got talent there. You sit for 1 year, and now all of a sudden you're the best quarterback in football. Yeah, Paul.
Anthony Richardson of Florida is fascinating because remember we came in that day, I think Florida, Utah, that really good game to start the season, and Richardson had 3 touchdown runs and 100 yards rushing. We were going, he's a September Heisman guy, September Heisman. But the month of September, he had 0 touchdown passes and 4 picks.
Yeah,
he ran the ball great, but then he finished really well. The last 4 weeks of the season, he had 10 touchdown passes and 2 picks in his last 4 games. Florida's already out of it. They're out of the national title picture. So we talked about it, but as a passer, his last 4 games were really good at Florida.
And I'm rooting for him because you want to see somebody take advantage of that athleticism and, you know, get him running with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, they could be a whole lot of fun. And that's always a division where you feel like it's up for grabs every single year. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. More phone calls after this. think of TireRack.com, okay? Because, well, why not? There's no other place to go for tires, in my opinion. Love the people there. They have their own test track. They push the tires to the limit. They give you then that information. They share the results with you. They also have the easy-to-use tire decision guide. It's a personalized tire recommendation, and it only takes a couple of minutes. So they'll tell you, these are the right tires for how and what and where you drive. When I ordered my tires, I said, this is what I drive. This is how I drive. And then they said, we got the perfect tire for you. They ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers, and putting tires on takes less than an hour. Also, mobile tire installation is available in a lot of areas. We experienced this last year. They bring the tires to you, brought them to the man cave, installed them on site. TireRack.com/Dan. You can see the Vredestein tire results, all the great tires they have. Once again, TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Update the poll results, if you can, Seton.
I sure can, Dan. We switched over to the NFL for this hour. Which would you be cool with? Move a team to Europe, move the Super Bowl to Europe, or actually not the Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl. Both or neither. Do you want to guess how this one's doing?
No.
Right now, 78% of the vote is neither.
Yeah.
None of them. Keep them all here.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You want global expansion, but at what cost? Yeah, Pauline.
I found a couple articles from last year where Tottenham Hotspur is preparing a 2026 Super Bowl bid. Right now, the 2026 Super Bowl has not been announced for a location. And these are all European outlets reporting this. I can't find it reported anywhere in America.
Hmm.
But a handful of places reported that a bid is being prepared for a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that's a long way from getting it.
Yes, Eden.
Does the Super Bowl destination really matter?
Well, your average fan doesn't get the opportunity to go.
Right.
I think it may be just, you know, symbolic that it's ours and you want it to stay ours. It doesn't matter to me, you know, where the game is played as long as it's a good game. God, there have been so many years that I went to Super Bowls and the games weren't good. And if you would have said, hey, if we put this in London and it's going to be great, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm fine. But I get it. It's ours, and you want to keep it ours. I don't want to I don't need to export everything. Yeah, Paul.
I know the NFL wants global expansion, or at least European expansion.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's worth the heat. A Super Bowl in London. Just imagine it was announced this morning. It would take over for the next week of our show. And the sentiment would be out of hand a lot of anti-NFL sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, see.
But the NFL is a league that makes no shame about doing things for the highest bidder or the most money, right?
Yeah, them and the Olympics. The Olympics has no problem taking any money from China or Russia.
Right. But the NFL, for the most part, I mean, Roger Goodell's main success is look how much money he's made.
Yeah.
Not personally, that's also a tremendous achievement, but for the league.
Yeah.
We're billions and billions and billions of dollars. Why then would it be a problem or surprising at all that they did the same for the Super Bowl and sent it to the highest bidder?
Well, normally, I mean, it's not the highest bidder. It's the team that has the stadium. If you build a stadium, it feels like they reward you. What, Tennessee's going to have a new one. Buffalo's going to have a new one. Is Carolina going to have a new one?
Weren't they building one but then had to shut it down? Didn't that get ugly?
I think that was a practice facility they were working on.
Okay.
It was Carolina.
Yeah, it feels like. I wish that they would just do a rotation of three or four cities. And the same thing with the Olympics, that you just have two that you alternate winter and two you alternate summer. But they're not going to do it because they do go to the highest bidder. The Super Bowl is not the highest bidder. It's that you build a new stadium, we're going to reward you. Yeah, Paul.
When does the Super Bowl kick off in USA Eastern time? About 6:20?
Yeah.
Sound right? 6:20 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah.
If there was a Super Bowl in London,
it'd be 11.
So that would be like, let's say they started it at 8 o'clock London time, but they pushed as far back as they can. That would be...
Yeah, but then that's 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
And you want that pregame. You know, they sell a lot of ads,
so
a lot of commercials.
It would bump the Super Bowl up at least 3 hours in America.
I think if you had a 4 o'clock start and you started over there at 9 and then you got done at around midnight, and then give everybody Monday off. Monday's an official holiday. Who's in favor of that?
Yes.
Okay, who has a problem, though? Let's say, you know, London is in the queue for a Super Bowl.
Look at you.
Okay.
Going local.
Yeah, all right. Anybody have a problem if they play the Super Bowl? How many do they seat at Tottenham? Didn't they just build that stadium recently?
Yeah, that's pretty new. Yeah.
Okay. They would probably have it at Wembley because you could have more. But what do they have? 50, 60,000 for...
60, Tottenham is just about 63,000.
Okay. Wembley is 100? Yeah, Paul?
I don't think it would bother me. I mean, and a casual fan, like you said, is not attending the Super Bowl. I could see the nationalism and our sports being exported, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I'd be that bothered for real.
If you said it was going to be a great game, then I'm fine with that. But there are people who, you know, probably jingoism, you know, it's more important to them of keeping this is ours and why are we sending it there? Yeah. Yes, Eden.
I have Wembley at 90,000.
Okay.
So significantly bigger.
Yeah.
You know, the president of UEFA recently caused a big controversy when he said that he was open to Champions League finals or like significant Champions League games being played in the United States.
Ooh.
And people were very upset about that. It's pretty similar.
I think they might be more territorial Europe.
Oh, definitely, for sure.
Than we are.
For sure.
Yeah. I didn't like it when the Yankees opened up, you know, opening day in Japan. I'm like, you can play a, you know, spring training game over there. You know? It doesn't have to be, well, this is real, now I'm going to go see it, or it's not real, I'm not going to go see it. But it's all about marketing. It's all about expansion. Marvin?
No, it wouldn't bother me not one bit.
Okay. Todd, would you have a problem with the Super Bowl being in another country?
I would not.
Okay. All right.
And Todd's bothered by everything.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
I could wink at that one.
You can wink.
Because if the average person doesn't care where it's played, and us in the sports media get a chance to travel the world a little bit and go to places we may never have gotten, I think everybody wins then.
Yes, Marv.
Todd said words out of my mouth.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he really did.
Okay.
Are we going, most importantly, if it's in London?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to Ireland first.
Damn, I love my life.
Yeah. Final hour coming up. We'll check in with the Celtics, the season on the line, and Kenny Smith, NBA on TNT, will join us. Final hour on this Wednesday coming up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.